are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Today, this show is brought to you by Next on Scene magazine. Welcome back to Next on Scene. I am so excited to discuss with you today with a new fabulous author on the line, but he's also the executive producer of Safe by the Bell to all of our 90s hit shows, and everyone who loves that show, I'm sure you're very excited for this show as much as I am. So Peter Engel's on the line, and he recently wrote a memoir, I Was Safe by the Bell, Stories of Life, Love, and Dreams That Do Come True. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
Good. I love the way you say dreams that do come true.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Very good reading.
Thank you. Well, I'm so excited to have you. You have such an incredible career, and congrats on your new book. I know it just came out in November, right?
Yes, 2 weeks ago.
Yay. That's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I know you're on the beach right now, which I'm so envious of because I'm in Boston in
the
cold.
At the beach. I'm not actually on the beach.
Okay. I'm glad you specified that. But still, I'm still not there, so.
Okay. I know.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background. So where are you originally from?
Well, it all begins. I was a 12-year-old boy in the west side of Manhattan who fell in love with television. And I had a dream, and I was shy, and I was afraid to tell anyone about my dream. You know, they'd laugh at me. No one in my family knew anything about the communications business. Television was new. And I pursued it, and this book is about the journey of all the ups and downs and heartbreaks. But I really got my first break. I was going to NYU Film School, and I needed to be a page at NBC at the same time.
Now, can you explain what a page is, by the way, for people who don't know what that is? Okay.
The NBC pages run the 30 Rock. They run the studios. They are the entree people. They bring the audiences in. And I thought it would be a great thing to accompany what I was doing at school. So my parents all had friends who were going to get me in, right? Being an NBC page was it, not CBS, not ABC. It had to be a 30 Rock. And so no one could ever get me in. So finally one day I was at school at NYU, and I took the subway up to 30 Rock, and I burst in. And I said, I want to be a page. And they said, we only take applications by mail. Now, I was a very shy kid, not the way I am today. And so I said, well, then I'm the first one here for the interview. They said, there is no interview. You have to mail in. I said, they said, we have 14,000 applications a year.
Oh,
and we
my
take
God.
Seven, not eight, not nine, seven. And he said, why do you have? I said, I have to be a page. And he said, why? I said, because everyone at film school wants to be in film. I want to be in television. I think it's the future. I want to be part of it. And just going to school isn't enough. I need to accompany it. And I went on, and he said, can you start Monday? Turned out that someone had dropped out of the training course. And I just happened to bull my way in. And again, that was not me. And the next thing you know, I was going to NYU during the day. And after classes, I take the subway up to 30 Rock. And I learned the business from inside, kind of.
That's awesome. Good for you for having the balls to just be like, I'm just going to go up to you and I'm just going to get what I want out of this. I'm not going to take no for an answer. Good for you. That's awesome. So how did – okay, so that's where you started. And then once you finished school, where did you end up?
Well, I had to go in the Army.
And
in those days, I went in the reserve for 6.5 years, which meant active duty, and I began producing local sports. And then I joined a company that brought me to California, and I was their West Coast guy. But I still wasn't producing, except for the sports stuff I had done. And finally, I got a job at Metro Media, which now is the Fox stations. And they had a big production company, and I started to produce there and ended up as an executive and then back to Universal, and you have to put your time in at Universal. And then, and Brandon Tartikoff, the president of NBC, who I had made several pilots, comedy pilots for, and who is now president, said, I want you to come to NBC. And I did, under contract as a producer, and the rest is history, or you got to read it in the book.
Right. That's the point, right? We're teasing you, so you have to read everyone. That's the thing.
Right, right.
Love it. So, just out of curiosity, what was your day-to-day like on the show? I mean, I find that so fascinating.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I didn't want to do it. I said, Brand said, I want to do live action on Saturday morning. And as the New York Times interviewed me 2 years later, when we were in 85 countries, and on besides NBC, we were in syndication. We were everywhere, I'm sure you know.
Right.
And they said, what did you say? What a great idea. I said, no, I told them to get someone else. And I went home that night. My wife said, how was your day? And I said, good. Brandon wanted me to do a silly kids show on live action on Saturday morning. She said, that's a great idea. And I said, well, I don't care about kids shows. Who cares about kids shows? And she said, how about our kids? I said, that's a good point. So I went back to Brandon the next day and said, in 3 weeks, I will have a show for you. And I did. I was executive producer, but I also wrote on every episode and wrote 11 of the 100, including the infamous Jesse song.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Yes. And, so my day to day was, I had a head writer and five or six writers. Then we had the production, the physical aspects, but run by another producer, and then there was the director. So the director and the producers and the writers reported to me. But I was rewrote every single episode, and I was at every, you know, you have a week of rehearsals and casting for parts. But you're also editing last week, and then of course I'm on the set. I'm in the control room during the whole taping.
Right. How long did it take you to like?
It was like a big party every night.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Fun.
I'm sure it was. Now, how long did it take you to write like the different episodes?
Well, the point was we do a group story. The whole writing room, you would plot out a story, and then one or two writers would take it off to write, and then they bring it back and we rewrite it. So once you broke the story, Jackie, Tom Tenowitz and I wrote most of them of ours together. We could probably write a script, and once you get the story, in 2 days.
Right, that's pretty amazing, though. I
mean,
I'm sure that's a lot of time, but that's a lot of
plotting.
Yeah,
it's the plotting. Once you got the story, for instance, the famous oil spill. I was driving by Beverly Hills High School one day and saw, which I had known, that they had an oil well on their campus, which is why the property taxes in Beverly Hills are so low compared to everywhere else. So I wanted us to do that show, and my writer said, there's nothing there, there's nothing there. Finally, I said, they discover oil at Bayside, and Zach has this fantasy that they're going to be the richest school in the world. And, of course, it's an oil spill, but that's how the ideas came.
So creative. So, so cool. So once
we're storytellers. I'm a storyteller.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Well, I tell stories.
That's your job, right? I mean, that was your whole career, which is so cool. So, I mean, you've obviously done so much more than Safe by the Bell. So can you tell us a little bit, you know, for our audience, of other stuff that you've worked on?
Well, when I was just 21, I was a organizer for John F. Kennedy and was with him every time he was in New York City. But they didn't have Secret Service back then, so a bunch of young guys, we would get him in and out of... they didn't have Secret Service around candidates at that time. So we essentially were his body men. And I have great stories in the book about me and JFK, and along the line I met some of the great people and had stories with them, like John Lennon and Orson Welles and Jacques Cousteau. And I did some shows. I did a bunch of movies of the week, and then I came to NBC on the contract, and I did 11 shows with them, and seven of them went 5 years or more. including Last Comic Standing, which still comes back periodically.
That's so awesome. What would you say was your favorite, or were they all different because they brought out, like, different creative sides?
My favorite show?
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
It was a joy. We went to the beach club right up the street. I didn't live here at the beach now. Then, rather. It's a quarter mile up from where I live now. We went to Hawaii, went to Las Vegas, went to Palm Desert. It was fun. It was like a family going off on holiday.
That's awesome. And do you still keep in touch with, like, everyone that was in it?
Pardon me?
Do you still keep in touch with all of the, you know, the cast?
Yeah, I do talk to them most, you know, once in a while. We bump into each other, or we call.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So now let's get to your book, of course, because it's so new and exciting. So how long did it take you to put together all of your life in a book?
5 years.
Wow.
And it wasn't until one of my sons, who's a professor at college, said to me, you need to do it like you used to tell us the stories 1,000 times. And then he actually did the last rewrite.
Nice. I know you're really close with your kids, too, right? Do they both live in California with you, or?
Stephen's up at UC Santa Cruz, and he is teaching and getting his doctorate. And then my daughter Lauren's in Brooklyn, and she has a little boy that's 19 months old named Ezra.
Aww.
And then Joshua works for YouTube in New York.
That's so fun.
And so for Christmas, we're all going to be in New York.
Oh, that's really nice.
My first time in New York at Christmas in years.
Aw, that's really, really nice. I'm sure you guys are excited about that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us a little bit about, like, the topics of the book. You know what I mean? So you talked about JFK. Obviously, your career was Saved by the Bell. But what should people expect when they read it, you know, going forward?
What they should expect is that you got to fight for what you believe in. I mean, some interview asked me the other day, do you wish that you knew then what you know now? I go, no way. I would have given up. I was so naive. I never thought, even with the ups and downs and shows that should have, could have, would have, and the many times I had my heart broken, both socially and professionally, it's how you come back.
Right.
And if I knew what I knew then, if I knew now, I knew, then what I knew now, I mean, I was naive. It never entered my mind how many times I got knocked down. And my hit came in the most unlikely place, Saturday morning. But Bell became an icon. It still is.
I know.
I mean, when Jimmy Fallon did the reunion, and they used my credit to make it, you know, they did it perfectly. And so I called my son at YouTube. He was in Singapore at the time. I said, how many hits do you think we'll get? And he said, I think we'll get 1 to 1.5 million. I went, whoa, no way. And we got 35 million hits.
That's amazing.
And that's when I said, I better get this book out now.
Right, exactly.
And then I really, really, really then, you know, went at it.
That's so awesome. So how did the title of the, you know, the book and the show, like, come together? Do you know that? I mean, obviously you do. So I'm so fascinated why the name, Saved by the Bell.
How did it come together?
Yeah.
Well, how it came together is I wrote the first script. And I named the characters after people I knew. Like the DeLorean car, John DeLorean, was a friend of mine, had a son named Zach. And Lisa Turtle was a Jewish-American princess from Long Island, I knew. And all of a sudden, she turned out to be a black princess. But I said, well, she's black now. And Slater was the name of a kid who was in my son's kindergarten class. And Mr. Belding was my cranky editor who never wanted to make changes. Richard Belding, when I was at Universal. So most of the characters, they weren't based. The names were. And the key was the anchor was Zach, who had to talk to the camera. And the casting, you know, but people don't know that both Elizabeth Berkley and Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Jenny Goth were all up for the role of Kelly. And I felt Jenny would be a better dramatic actress. But so it came down to all my writers and directors all wanted Elizabeth to play Kelly. And only myself and Brandon Todd were insistent that Tiffany would become a good actress and become a star. And so then he said, why don't we use both of them? So we show then we offered Jesse to Elizabeth Berkley. But I never knew if anyone was going to see the show in that environment, even though we were on three times in prime time before Saturday morning. And my lead-in were Chipmunks, and my lead-out was Smurfs, and I was against a rabbit, a bear, and a raisin. I didn't know if I knew how good the kids were. I knew they were magic, but I didn't know if anyone would ever see it. And, of course, the rest is history.
Right, and then the rest just kind of took off from there. But the title of itself, though, of the actual show, you know, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah. I hated that title and the theme song. What happened was we had to go out to see Brandon Todikoff and lay out the first six episodes or the first few and tell him what the show was going to be. And he had a cold, and I said, listen, we go in and we go out. If he asks you a direct question, you answer. Unless he does, I'll do all the talking. So we go through the whole thing. Everything is approved. And as we were leaving, he goes, what are we going to call this thing? And he said, how about when at the bell? And I said, you already did a show last year called that, which got canceled in 6 weeks. And then he said, and then Tom Tanowitz, he said, how about Saved by the Bell? And Brandon said, I love it. And I gave Tom a look. If looks could have killed, he would have been gone. We got out of the office. I said, that is the stupidest title I've ever heard. My show is not going to be called I Was Saved by the Bell. But since the president likes it, I said to one of my guys, well, you better check. Hopefully someone else owns the title. And the next morning, I came in, and there was a big sign over the studio, Saved by the Bell.
That's so funny.
And then the theme song was even funnier, because what you do is you have four or five composers come in to write the theme, and the one who writes the theme usually gets the music for the show. So I lectured each one of them. I don't want to hear any bells. I do not want to hear the word Saved by the Bell. I do not want to hear about being saved by the bell. So four guys came in. They were okay, nothing special. And the fifth guy came in, and he played his recording, and the bell rings.
Oh, God.
And my group looks at him, and he's going to throw Scotty Gale out of the door. And I listened to it, and these guys are sitting there. What's he going to do? Not only was the bell, not only was I was saved by the bell and the lyric, and I looked at him, I said, thanks for not listening to me. This is perfect.
Right. That always happens, doesn't it? That's so funny.
He did everything I told him not to do.
And it ended up being great. Whatever, but it ended up being great, so that was good.
Right. I only know the first line. Because when I did my college tour of about 30 colleges in 07, the first one was NYU, and then I came in with that. I taught two classes during the day. And there were about 2,000 kids, and they were singing Saved by the Bell theme song. And I never wanted anyone to know that I only knew the first line.
That's so friggin' funny.
I mean, after all those years in the editing room, you'd think I would know.
I think you were so focused on everything else.
When the show started,
yeah.
It was played in the studio just before we started.
That's so friggin' funny. But I mean, you're so focused on everything else, you know? You can't be so hard on yourself about that.
Right, I was.
That's so funny. So that's really awesome. What a great story. So tell us about where people can buy the book right now.
Amazon right now.
Awesome. And then obviously your website, right?
But right now it's Amazon.
Okay. And then they can go to your website, though, to find out more information on it, right?
Right. That's called iwassavedbythebell.com.
Perfect. And then what about social media tags so people can follow you and get updates?
We have all that.
So tell us. I think they're all if they look up I Was Saved by the Bell or type in Peter Engel, I'm sure they'll find it. But it's with an E, everyone.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Really cool story, Peter. It's been so much fun having you.
I'm so much fun talking to you.
Yeah, I'm so glad. So everybody definitely check out I Was Saved by the Bell. It is such a good book. I'm already on halfway in, which is really exciting. I have my own copy.
It gets bad in the middle.
Yeah.
No, after Bella gets a little sad. It's whatever. It's going to make you laugh and cry.
It's a memoir. Exactly. It's a memoir. I mean,
it's going to make you laugh and cry and feel good all over.
Yeah, but that's good because that's life. Life is not always perfect, you know? So
life is not a straight line.
Right, exactly.
And it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And you never give up. I mean, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you get back up. And
yeah.
You never let anyone steal your dream.
I like
that. Dream big dreams, but they're hard to accomplish in small ones.
Right. And I really like how you just, like in the beginning of the show, you were talking about how it's just so important, like if you're so passionate about something, to just go in and go after it, you know? Like,
and you got to. You got to go with passion. Well, you know the famous story is me lying down the president of NBC's office and demanding more episodes, or you'd have to take me out in chains. And so I said to this producer once, a friend of mine, how much do you believe in this show? He said, oh, so much. I said, well, what would you do? He said, anything. I said, would you lie down the president of NBC's office and demand 13 episodes, or they'd have to call security and take you out in shackles? He said, no, that's crazy. I said, well, then you'll never have a hit show.
So funny how things work out. It was so meant to be, you know? That's very cool.
Well, lovely talking to you, and
likewise.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Peter, and thanks everyone for tuning in to Next on Scene. Be sure to check out who's next with us, and definitely be sure to check out Peter's book and follow him on social media. Until next time, stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Today, the show is brought to you by ConnectPay.com. Check out the Green Pill blog, and also check out Peter in Next on Scene's holiday issue. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@jzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at JZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.